Thanks for tuning in to the Entertainment News Break on the Let's Get Ready Network, the place for coverage of all the things you love. On this feed, we cover movies, TV, video games, and more. If you're interested in supporting the network, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/LGR_network. And please leave a rating and a review of this episode. Enjoy the show, everyone.
Hey guys, this is Justin, aka Hambone, just here to let you know a couple of things that we have going on with the channel. One, we have a Patreon. If you can and want to support us, you can do that. Little as a dollar, you can join the Discord. We also have a merch store where you can get some cool shirts, mugs, and stuff with all of our different shows and labels on there. Okay. And thank you for all of our supporters that have already been there with us. Like, who's that? I'm new, come back better than last year. It's a new me, never gonna look back. You're never gonna look back. Cause damn, I was built to last. You move slow and I move fast. And that's facts. Only I can make a change. Slowly take a step today. I will never be the same. Cause that's what it takes. Hey everybody, how's everybody going? We're chilling right here. It is going to be me and Brennan tonight. Hello. We're going to be doing the thing, talking about the stuff. Brennan wanted to definitely be on here. I know why, because of the Oscars. Because Brennan knows a lot about the Oscars. He knows a lot of trivia questions and stuff like that about the Oscars. So we'll be talking with Brennan about the Oscars and everything else, because that happened very recently, last night, matter of fact. But Brennan, man, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm excited.
That's what I like to hear. Well, pretty much like any other night, we're going to start off. We'll get into the Oscars like I was just talking about, but we're going to start off with the box office, because that's what we normally start off with. And with the box office, Scream 6 came out this weekend. And yeah. Hey, man, it did fantastic. It earned a franchise best $44.5 million at the opening domestic box office. It got up to $67.1 million as that is, some statistics on like the viewers and stuff. Looks like moviegoers between 18 and 34 was high on that. And the gender mix, I don't even know how they got this, but gender mix was 51-49, 51% male, 49% female. Creed 3 still up there, number two with an impressive $27.2 million, and it's been out for at least a weekend. This is going to be a big month because there's other movies coming out too. Creed 3 has earned $101.4 million domestically and over almost $180 million worldwide. The film 65, the sci-fi dinosaur film, pulled in $12.3 million. So not that great since it costs like $45 million to make. Ant-Man and the Wasp is still out there at number four with $7.1 million. It's dropping off big time. Cocaine Bear still hanging in there at number five with $6.2 million, and it has gotten $51.7 million dollars so far. But yeah, man, like you know, we got Scream 6, Creed 3. We got two new movies. Scream 6 is a new one. 65 is a new one. Creed 3 is in there at solid number two. Ant-Man's dropping down. Cocaine Bear is hanging in there like crazy. And there was a movie, Champions, that did break the $5 million mark at number six. So it wasn't that far. It was about $1 million behind, or a little bit over $1 million behind Cocaine Bear in the box office. Mm-hmm. Brennan, man, anything in the box office right now, the top of the box office, is it surprising you or anything?
Well, it amazes me with Scream 6 because the age range of people who went to see it are a lot of people who were too young when the first one came out, but it looks like the legacy of the film, of Wes Craven's original film, is the legacy is still there. And people are still interested. And now that the pandemic's starting to die down, I think people are enjoying the idea that they could go to the theater with a bunch of people see a scary movie and everybody can scream and just enjoy that communal experience. I was at the local mall the night it opened, and I saw lots of people going to see it, including people dressed up in the Ghostface costume.
Right.
So it's really got an appeal. And I hear it's really good. I haven't seen it yet. I did see the first four screen films. And it's nice to see that that quality continues.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I'm actually glad we had some information on the age range and stuff like that, because I do think that these, like, teenagers, like upper teenagers, early 20s and stuff like that, are the big time moviegoers, especially for this film, because it makes kind of sense, because they do like a lot of things during the movie that's kind of meta, that's like, yeah, all this stuff, like based on, you know, meme style stuff and everything else. Like, it's there to be goofy to a certain point and everything at certain moments. Yeah, yeah. So, like, exactly. So, like, these younger viewers are coming out and keeping the franchise alive. Now, I've seen the movie and I overall enjoyed the movie. Like, I give it a passing grade. Mm-hmm. I give it a grade, you know, around the 6.5, 7 mark or whatever, because for about 75% of the film, I thought it was amazing. I thought that this film had a chance to change the role, to change it up just a little bit, to get a little different and everything else. But that last, like, 25%, they went back to the same thing they've been doing for six films, right? Like, there's multiple people, not just one. One of them super egregious, but multiple people are stabbed, which is obvious because of the style of movie it is. And I'm not getting into specifics here because I'm not trying to, like, super spoil it or anything. Obviously, you know, people's gonna get stabbed, but, like, there was more than one that should not be here or be in the franchise anymore after what happened, and yet somehow or another it is what it is. They do
the thing.
Like, miracles happen, let's just say. Like, they were praying to whatever god that they believe in to still be here with us and stuff like that. And it's like, that to me goes a little bit too overboard. And like I said, because I really did enjoy, I enjoyed heavily the New York scenery. I enjoyed that, like, 100%. Love that they went to a different, like, set, like, to a different place and everything. And that kind of brought me into the film and everything else, because I didn't love 5 as much as some people did. Some people think it's like, oh man, this is like the best one since the original. Talking about 5, I didn't love it as much because I thought the end of 5 was a carbon copy of the first film. Like, no originality, like, none of that stuff. It was literally, they did almost scene for scene in some points, like, the same stuff that happened in the very first movie. So I didn't enjoy it that much, because I thought the ending fell flat. I enjoyed this movie even more than 5, because I did enjoy 5 up to a certain point. I enjoyed this movie more than 5, because I thought, like, the first part of the movie was, like, super good. It was super great. And like I said, it felt a little different. Ghostface felt like, you know, even, you know, more brutal than he's been in a couple of the movies and stuff. And I really did enjoy that. I enjoyed some of the kills. I enjoyed some of the creativity there and all that stuff. And like I said, overall enjoyed the movie. 6.5, 7 is not a super bad score, but some of the stupidity that's happening, like plot holes that you can't fill with even that tape that one guy slaps the bucket with to stop the water from coming out, that kind of thing. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of that, especially towards the end of the film. And then when you really start looking at it and you start breaking down, like, who was supposed to be the Ghostface killer at certain points and stuff like that, it's unbelievable at times. Like, ah, oh, bro, that couldn't happen. That kind of stuff.
It stretches credulity.
Right, exactly. And it is what it is. Like, to me, it's just like, okay, you know what you're going to get a little bit when you go to the Scream movies, and that's why I give it a little more of a pass. If this would have been like another franchise, I probably would have gave it a little bit of a worse score. But I kind of knew what was going to happen because I watched, you know, Screams throughout my years and stuff like that. And the first couple were some of my favorite horror films at the time. But, like, it's getting away from that. But I'm also older, right? I'm also older, and maybe it's a little more difficult for me to, like, let some of this stuff slide as much. And everything else. But Creed 3 is amazing. It deserves everything it's getting. Cocaine Bear's a fun ride out there. Like, I can't believe a movie with that name's even in the top five of the I can't believe it was there last week.
It's probably still in there the this name week alone.
Yeah, it's just like you can't it's believe a that
Cocaine
name
Bear. It's like, yeah.
People are just gonna go see it for that. It's 65, like I had 65 I've had higher hopes for, and I still may enjoy it because, like, the Phantom is kind of split on it, but there was a thing that I read where this film was done during, like, some of the COVID stuff or whatever, so it was very difficult to have made and everything else, so that's why it may be a little bit of a drop on it, but I've also heard there are some good moments and stuff in there.
Yeah.
So I might go watch that here pretty soon and might have a review of that of my own. But like I said, it's kind of getting me not to go because of some of the reviews. A lot of the reviews for that's not super great.
Yeah.
Not super great on that. So, like, we'll jump from that. We're going to go into the regular news now. And it'll be the Oscars. The Oscars are the number one news thing when it comes to movies and entertainment and everything else. Let's go ahead and jump into it. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once wins seven Academy Awards.
Seven Academy Awards.
Seven Academy Awards, including the best pictures. But it also won Best Direction, Original Screenplay, Editing, and three of the four acting categories. You know, which includes Michelle Yeoh. She became the first Asian woman and only second woman of color after Halle Berry to win the award. She called her a beacon of hope for possibilities for little boys and girls who look like her that were watching. Best Supporting Actress went to Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes.
And she noted that her parents and stuff like that was a big thing.
Yep, Tony Curtis and Janet Leigh.
Tony Curtis and Janet Leigh, her parents, were actually both nominated for Oscars but never won.
Yeah.
And she called out the fans of the Halloween franchise, thanking all the people who have supported the genre movies she's made for years. Brandon Fraser, he won Best Actor for another A24 film. So A24 racked up on this thing. I think they deserve it. They're great.
A24 won 9 Oscars.
That is a great, great production studio over there, A24. It is. They don't worry about these big franchise movies. They try to put original content out there, like smaller stories.
The Lighthouse and The Green Knight and weird, trippy movies like that. They're not afraid to try new things.
I especially loved, I'm not a big, huge Oscar fan, right? Yeah. I don't care for or watch the Oscars. You know, I looked up the awards. Right. So I'll look up who won the awards and stuff like that. But most of the time I'm sitting back going, oh, this is crap. Why did they give it to this person? This person probably deserved it. Now, I will say there wasn't as much of that in this Oscars after I saw who won the awards. And one thing that I watched multiple times, because it was like super great, super heartwarming, super cool. Go and watch it if you want to. It's probably on some video clips on YouTube or whatever. But Kwan had a very great speech. When he won his award for himself, talking about his mom and everybody else, he was literally, it wasn't like some people I think get up there and try to fake their emotions, try to fake like they're sad or try to fake tears.
Something like take a stand on something.
Exactly. This guy straight up went up there, opened up his heart. He was crying for like a first 5 minutes. And then legit, he was that emotional. He fled Vietnam with his parents in 78, spent a year in a refugee camp, and said that stories like this only happen in the movies, but he was able to win one, and he pointed that out. But when he did,
journey to be in short round to be an Oscar winner.
But also, one of the coolest things was that when the movie won best picture overall, my man Harrison Ford, Han Solo, comes up on stage and hands him the Oscar first. Like, before the director, before anybody else got to touch the Oscar, Harrison Ford delivered the Oscar and gave it to him. And it was a big moment.
Yeah.
Beautiful moment, because he says he hasn't actually been able to spend time with Harrison Ford for like 30 years or some crazy crap like that. But nah, man, that was beautiful and everything else. Other winners included Natu Natu for RRR for the best original song.
Yeah.
Ruth Carter for best costume design for Black Panther.
She's 2 for 2 now.
Top Gun Maverick for best sound.
Yeah.
Avatar The Way of the Water for best visual effects.
Oh, yeah.
So, with that being said, man, you're the Oscar expert, Brennan. What did you think overall about the Oscars?
Well, I think it was wonderful. I think that, you know, in the last 10 years, the Academy voters have been picking more unusual films to win Best Picture. In the old days, the Best Picture winners were generally kind of formulaic. Along comes A24, which, as you said, A24 doesn't care about the studio system. They care about making a movie that is challenging, unusual, pushes the boundaries of what film can do. And they've been having great success in the last few years. But particularly in the last 10 years, where more unusual independent type movies, like Birdman and other movies like that,
right,
have been winning Best Picture. This is so exciting for a movie as unusual and odd as Everything Everywhere All at Once, which, apart from being very strange, is also very good. And so the opportunity that they may not have had the opportunity 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, the opportunity to demonstrate that a film that is different can win. And it was so exciting to see, you know, Michelle Yeoh, Ki-Hoo Kwan, these marvelous actors win these awards. And of course, The Whale is also an A24 film. Mm-hmm. So it was a huge night for A24, so that was really cool. It was also a good night for All Quiet on the Western Front, which won 4 Oscars. That's pretty exciting. And then, of course, we had the fact that we're seeing Ruth Carter win her 2nd Oscar. She won it the first time for the first Black Panther, and has now won it again for Wakanda Forever. Avatar winning Best Visual Effects, that was not a surprise.
No, I really didn't think it didn't have a competition.
Yeah, there was really no
competition. To be honest with you for that, because like their whole movie's visual effects, and there wasn't except like a Star Wars.
Yeah,
that one was kind of closer, but like it, but. Yeah, I was gonna say there wasn't like a Star Wars or a huge MCU film, like, mm-hmm. right? Like to really go up against it. There were a couple of MCU films, but none of the big, huge, you know, ones like an Infinity War or anything else to go up against Avatar. So, like, that was a shoe-in for me.
And of course, the sound went to Top Gun Maverick, which is also not a surprise. And so, all in all, I think they picked the right winners. I mean, it's hard to say the right because it's all subjective, but as far as I'm concerned, I think they picked films that definitely deserved what they got.
No, yeah, I agree.
It was a really
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the biggest things is too, they're actually not, it's almost like the Oscars used to shun like movies that got popular. Like Avatar mm-hmm. or Star mm-hmm. Wars maybe win something like the sound or visual effects, but like other than that, they'd be shut out of everything. Everything Everywhere All at Once is one of those movies that could kind of get stuck in something like that. But I really think the change started the year that Parasite really got in there and kind of stole the show and everything else. I really think that started there. Where if it was a super great story, it didn't matter what genre it was in, like it could possibly have a chance to like win and everything else. So like I do think a change is coming, and like so this past year I thought horror, as far as the genre, was the best genre consistently all year.
Oh, movies, yes, like X and Smile,
Purple and Barbarian, all these movies that came out last year.
And Smile.
Smile. All these movies were good movies.
Great year.
Great movies in some cases, yes. Great performances. The way they were shot was great and beautiful. Like, just because it's a horror movie doesn't mean let's throw away the cinematography. I think a lot of those movies were. And so far this year, horror has been doing good.
And
so,
they were different. They were psychological as well.
Yes, they're all different stories and different ways to tell things and stuff like that. I agree. But yeah, so I'm actually loving the fact that stuff now is going on.
2022 I'm loving the fact was a good year.
Oh, yeah. And I'm loving the fact that at the start of this year, people are jumping on Cocaine Bear and having fun with it. It seems like this year, and I haven't seen it in a little while, but it seems like this year people are being able to sit back and go to a movie and kind of realize what they're going to watch. It seems like more and more people are starting to do that, right? Yeah. You go see
The top 10 grossing films of all time. Netflix and Avatar The Way of Water.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, this year, as far as the box office, it looks like it's starting to kick up. I mean, that was a lot of money spent at the box office this past weekend. But like I said, like things like Cocaine Bear and people actually going and seeing it and knowing that it's supposed to be fun, that you're not supposed to like nitpick it. Obviously, it's not going to be an Oscar winner, an Oscar performance or anything in this movie. It's going to have fun. And it looks like people are going to that movie and having fun. Maybe they're realizing it, right? Like, and that's one of the things about Scream, like my commentary and my review about Scream, even though I was more positive than negative on the film, like there are a decent amount of negatives, but like maybe that's me being a little bit too much on that other side, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe I'm nitpicking it a little too much because like all the Screams, and not really nitpicking, there's like big gaping holes in the thing, a decent amount of the Screams before this had big gaping holes and plot and the things that didn't make sense or whatever, that they just cheated, you know what I'm saying, basically, in the film. And I think it's starting to, I think it's really and truthfully, it's just some of these things that happen too much too often. It's like, come on, you have a chance to like change some things around, maybe be a little more serious on this one and everything else. But we'll find out.
Yeah.
But with that being said, Oscars, pretty good stuff, man. I do feel like in most cases on this one, the right people won. It was cool to see some of the movies that were getting nominations and stuff like that and winning were like a little bit different. But now we're going to move on to one of my top three directors of all time, and that's Quentin Tarantino. He has put together, what sources say, will be billed as his final film. Tarantino has been working on a script titled The Movie Critic and is preparing to direct the film this fall. Sources told the Hollywood Reporter. We don't know who actually is going to be like the production company or whatever yet, because like basically he's on his own because he obviously left the Weinstein company because of all that crap that happened and everything else. But it is based in the 1970s. It's going to have a female lead as a center. Basically, it's a female critic back in the day that was like doing her thing during times where
based on Pauline Kael, who was a famous movie critic who was known for being rather harsh.
Right. And like, so like she's a movie critic. It's based on a movie critic. Obviously, that makes sense with the story and everything else. But like I said, it doesn't have a studio home yet because basically Tarantino is like a man for hire when it comes for his movies now. There is big time rumors, and he has said it before. He said a while back that he wanted to direct 10 films are retired by the time he was 60. He's about to turn 60 later this month, actually. And he's made 9 films. If you count Kill Bill as only he has made 9 films. If you count the 2 Kill Bill movies as one, that's right. That's what I was about to say. Basically that's one movie that he split apart because it was too long. Exactly. So this will be his 10th film and he will be 60 afterwards. Now, he did say that he would stay in the creative process possibly, but by doing other things, like maybe limited series or some plays or something like that. Or
become
like
a writer. He talked about that too.
Yeah. So there he goes with that thing. He's always had a strict rule. He's talked about this years ago. Like, this ain't even something he's just now brought up. But man, dude, Quentin Tarantino going out there. Like, I'm actually interested in this because, you know, it seems like almost like a a movie that he's going to be making that would be just like a serious, like almost possibly close to a documentary or something. But we know what Quentin Tarantino does. Quentin Tarantino obviously changes some things. He's even changed things with True History and stuff that. So I'm excited for this to see what kind of tale he spins and molds around this particular character and this female lead going through being a critic in the 70s. Like, I want to know like what he's going to put in here that's going to be totally different that makes it Quentin Tarantino.
I agree. And you know what's interesting is with 10 films, you know, it's not a lot of movies, but boy, has he left an impression.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Stanley Kubrick. Stanley Kubrick didn't make that many movies. But everybody knows Stanley Kubrick.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody knows his style, too.
Everybody will know Quentin Tarantino because...
Oh, yes.
I have never had so many white-knuckle moments.
Oh, gosh.
From watching a Quentin Tarantino movie, and it's not white-knuckle moments because there's a big action scene or somebody's getting killed or any of this. It's tension, white-knuckle moments, and I mean, every time it's people sitting at a table.
Hans Landa in Inglourious Bastards.
Inglourious Bastards.
Sitting at that table in the farmhouse.
The table scene in Django Unchained, you know, like I said, like you just said, the Inglourious Bastards table scene. The scenes that you would have, shoot, like you could even throw Death Proof in there because it's got a couple of scenes of people at a table. You know, now this one ain't like this one ain't knuckle gripping or whatever, but just the talk and the dialogue that was happening between characters in his first movie, Reservoir Dogs. Like when they're sitting in ties, all these films have these moments to where you don't have to see the action. It's more about like the tension that's built inside these characters and moments to where they're just chilling in most cases.
And moments like in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the countdown to the Manson family attack.
Right.
You know what's going to happen. Or at least you know what they want to do. Their plans, of course, go wrong in the movie. But you know that it's counting down to that. And it puts you on the edge. It does. So, yeah, this is exciting. I can't wait to see what it does.
Listen, man, tonight, I ain't gonna lie to you. There's some shows that we do this on. I go on a rant. On things because it's a bad decision. It's a bad idea. But I don't know if that's going to happen tonight because the next story, all the stories we've had so far has been positive. You know what I'm saying? True. Quentin Tarantino making his last film. The Oscars were actually like a good show this time, to be honest with you. I didn't watch it, but I ain't going to lie to you. I got a little FOMO. I kind of want to wish go back in time. Maybe I should have watched it. But on top of that, the box office is looking better. And this next topic is one of my favorite things to talk about right now.
Oh, boy.
The Last of Us. The Last of Us passes House of the Dragon, which is the new Game of Thrones spinoff series in full season viewers. The first season finale, The Last of Us, brought in the show's biggest audience to date. Sunday's finale averaged 8.2 million viewers across all platforms for HBO. Up slightly from the previous week's 8.1 million and an opening night high for the 9-episode season, according to HBO. The show's first 6 episodes were averaging 30.4 million viewers since the January 15th premiere and the debut episode closing in on 40 million viewers. Should the 30.4 million figure hold as more returns come in on the final 3 episodes, it would mean that The Last of Us is bigger than House of Dragon, which averaged 29 million across platform viewers over the course of its run in the late summer and fall. And the most amazing thing about this news, they did it with the Oscars actually growing in popularity. The Oscars beat out most sporting events except for the NFL. Okay. Like, so the Oscars beat the last year's NBA finals and stuff like that. Okay. That's how good the Oscars did this year of viewership.
Oh, yes.
The Last of Us did all those numbers while that was going on.
Yes, it did.
While that was happening. Mm-hmm. Right. So kudos to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I am feeling better, Greg. Thank you, man. Thank you out there in the chat, everybody mm-hmm. else. But like, nah, man, this right here, The Last of Us, is it's not without a shadow of a doubt. I said this throughout the season. I was kind of hinting at it. I wanted to say it, but I couldn't say it. The Last of Us, without a shadow of a doubt. I don't care what you say, what you bring up, what you think you're going to bring up, something that may happen in the future. But no, without a shadow of a doubt, The Last of Us is the greatest video game adaptation, period. TV, shows, screen, on the big screen, in the movies, it doesn't matter what you want to look at. This is the best adaptation I have ever seen. Were there some changes?
I agree with you.
Were there some changes? Yes. Would I have loved to see more Infected, because I'm a big fan of the horror stuff? Yeah. Yes. I would wish there would have been some. But for the time they had, nine episodes they had, and the stories that they told, was just truly amazing what they were able to do. The Bill and Frank episode 3, I'm not going to lie to you.
Episodes of TV, I swear.
One of the best episodes of TV, period. Not my favorite, but that's crazy because that's not even my favorite episode during the season. But I will tell you this, it might be the best love story told all year, and that includes the big screen. That includes if a Nicholas Sparks movie comes out this year. I'm telling you right now.
Now that I think about it, you might be right.
This right here, that story is going to be possibly the best love story that we will see on screen. And it's during the middle of the apocalypse, when the infected, when these zombies are going around doing their thing and stuff like that in this world that they created. Episode by episode by episode. None of them ranked below an 8. Most of them were at 9s. Hell, that last episode was a 10 out of 10, chef's kiss as they were leaving the kitchen. You know what I'm saying? That right there, just, man, it did better than the game at the end. It did better at the game. It showed the brutality mm-hmm. of the decision. I did this last night, and we talked about that final episode and the season as a whole. Me and Megan put together our Last of Us review.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about The Last of Us that I think gets people, because I think some people love the story, even if they're not big horror fans or big thriller fans. But the one thing that I think gets people with The Last of Us is the true thing. And that one big thing, and I discussed it last night, is love.
Mm-hmm.
It shows us the broad range of love. Okay? There are stories that show us the great things about love. There's been some stories that show us the bad things about love. But I do not know and can't pick a better example of love being portrayed in the drastic outcomes mm-hmm. from the furthest this way, from the worst of love to the best of love in mm-hmm. one story. That's what it's about. It's about loss, overcoming that loss and everything else. But it's also the decisions that you have to make because of love. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Joel murdered people. What he did was terrible and wrong.
Yep.
But if that was my son strapped on that gurney, I'd do what Joel did, no questions asked.
That's the conundrum, I think, of love.
I'd do it. There's no doubt in my mind, Brennan.
It's what are we willing?
I would be a bad person. Yeah. I'm admitting to everybody that hears this, then sees this, or whatever. And if I had to do that, I am telling you, I would be a terrible person.
Yeah.
I would be making a terrible choice.
Love does that to people.
But I would do it anyway, like you just said, for that love.
Yeah, for that love.
Right? This mm-hmm. story, like I said, it branches out and it shows us the worst and the best in the same story.
It does. Like, yeah.
That is the greatest thing about this story. I think that's why it invokes emotion from people. People argue about the Joel thing, mm-hmm. Period. But it's like this. I don't think you can depict it any better, right? There's movies out there where two people fall in love and then they follow them through time. And then, you know, like one of them gets sick and dies or something. And it's sad.
Oh, yeah.
But that's still beautiful. That's still a beautiful part of love. Like even in death, you can carry on because mm-hmm. you love this person and you remember this person. Even though you may tear up during that scene, it's still a beautiful part of love.
It is. But
there's an ugly part of love that this show shows both. With episode 3 shows us the beautiful part of love. Mm-hmm. During certain spots when Joel does what he can to make it after, you know, being brutally stabbed, to make it to go save Ellie, and Ellie overcomes and everything else in the episode before the last one. Like, it is this, all these good things that happens because of love, but then it also shows you the ugly side of what happens because of love. Because artists, writers, you know, storytellers, musicians all over the world has made some of the most beautiful things because of love. But because of love, we also have the terrible wars, battles, murders, death because of that same thing. There's that beautiful and ugly side of it, and that story tells both. And that's why I, like I said, I can't stop talking about it. That's why that story is so huge. I think that's why it encompasses so many people's, like, and just makes them sucked into the story.
Well, let's consider the time we're living in. So get this. Within the span of about 4 or 5 months, we've had Rings of Power, House of the Dragon, Andor, Willow, The Last of Us. We are looking at some of the best streaming shows that I think that we've ever seen. And they just keep getting better. I think for me personally, Andor is tied with The Last of Us for me. It's the best. But just look at the time period that we're living in right now with all these incredible shows. And they just keep getting better as each one comes along.
I agree with 3 out of the 5 you mentioned.
Okay, that's fair.
The House of the Dragons, Last of Us, and Andor are three of the line. Rings of Power has its problems.
A little more, you know.
Yeah, Rings of Power has its problems.
Yeah, it does.
Right? Willow, I don't think is bad, but I also don't think the people that hate on it, right, like the people that don't like it as much, also never watched the original Willow. Because if you watch the original Willow, the show fits it perfectly as far as the way they tell the story, the goofiness that's involved in it, and all that. And if you haven't ever watched the original film, like, you wouldn't get the kind of comedy or the kind of thing that they're going for and stuff like that on that. But, and I think that's why it has a little bit of a drawback, because, like, a lot of these younger people watching this, like, what the hell is this? They don't understand it, but they don't get the jokes and all that stuff from when Willow was originally made. And while that's going on, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to move on to the next topic. Michael B. Jordan is in talks basically with Amazon about actually adding to the Creed and Rocky Balboa series by going to television and doing a streaming show on it as well. I don't know if I like this, because I think this, I don't know if this was just, here's the problem. Some people do this stuff and it's all about money. Oh man, we're making big money in the box office. These movies has been well received. These stories and these characters have been well received. Let's do shows.
I'm
going to be honest with you. If the main characters aren't involved in it, I don't care. Like, I'm not going to get excited about it. It's going to be this, you know, off-brand shoot-off. And I just don't, and it might be a money grab. Now, if they go out there, they might change my mind. They go out there and knock it out of the park and make a great series. But I'm just worried. I think this is more of a money grab. Yeah, I don't know if the
Rocky Balboa is not in it, if Adonis Creed is not in it, then it feels kind of out of place.
Yep. I mean, I don't want to see a show based on Adonis Creed's gym where maybe some young boxers are getting ready and telling their story. Like I said, they might tell a great story. It might be amazing, and I might go check it out because people are telling me, like, hey, dude, you got to go see this. It's actually really great.
They call it Creed, or they call it Rocky, and those guys aren't in it. I mean, yeah, as you say, it still could be really good. It just might be missing something.
Exactly. But like I said, this is one of those stories to me that comes off as possible money grab, so I'm not going to get excited. I tell people to temper their expectations on it because I just don't know if this – right. Like, people write stories and naturally good stories about things that they really want to write about and do things about. And I don't know, forcing someone by paying them to go create you a story sometimes is not the best way to get the story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's why I get a little worried about those situations, but it might be great. We'll see when more news comes out.
We'll see what happens.
All right. One of our final things that we got going on here is Batman, Caped Crusader. Something that WB, Warner Brothers Discovery and stuff scrapped whenever they were doing all that cutting costs and everything, is actually also going to go to Amazon with a 2-season order. It looks like it's going to be an animated show or whatnot, and it is not going to take part of James Gunn and them's new 10-year plan that they've got. So it will not be part of that. It'll be something that Amazon will be doing on their own. Exactly. So they will be putting out this. It'll come on Amazon. I don't know a lot about it, but that their possible reunion of executive producers J.J. Abrams and Matt Reeves to like be producers on that, which sounds good. Yep. Two great creators right there, especially like double teaming on there. So it could be
super especially awesome Matt Reeves with the success of the Batman.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
So we may be getting something really cool and really fun with the animated series as might be coming or not. It might. It actually looks like it's definitely going to Amazon. People did actually.
The Kevin Conroy is no longer with us. Being the voice of Batman for so many years.
I'm gonna be honest with you. Some of this stuff coming out about DC is like so confusing because it's like they're starting this new universe, and now they've got the new Batman I just watched ain't gonna be part of it. You know, all these things are changing. And everything else, the Flash is supposed to be the first thing about it. I don't know how to feel about that because I said Star Wars character, but Ezra Miller.
It's Ezra Bridger been canceled.
Exactly. Ezra Miller out there doing all his craziness. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to react to that. I don't know. Like, I'm almost afraid that guy's like one move away from doing something super horrible that I wouldn't feel good about, you know, paying attention to and listening to. We'll see. We'll see what's going to happen. I'll probably go watch the movie to do a review on it and everything else later for the channel. So we'll see what's up. See, sometimes this gives me the excuse to go see movies I normally wouldn't see.
Yep.
So that I could put out the review and then I can blame it on the channel. You know what I'm saying? It's not me picking to go see it. I got forced to go see it. But Brennan, right here, we got the last thing I want to talk about, we got maybe two things. Bob Iger questions Marvel sequels need to bring back characters and everything else. So Bob Iger is talking about the Marvel Studios, talking about possibly bringing back some of the older characters. Or he's even talking about, do we need to have so many sequels based on certain characters? Like, does Thor need 4 or 5 or 6 sequels? Does the Guardians of the Galaxy need so many sequels and stuff like that? Or do we need to go to like new stories? He also did mention a brief thing about Star Wars that new films are being made at Lucasfilm. So we do have movies that are going to get made. We just don't know when. But what do you think about
next month?
Yeah. What do you think about like what he's saying there about Marvel and stuff?
Bob is an interesting guy because he is a make decisions kind of guy. The previous boss, Bob Chapek, didn't seem to be as good at decision making.
Right.
I think Bob Iger is the guy who comes in and says, okay, we're going to do this, 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 and this. And he knows what he's talking about because not only does he care about the art, he's a good businessman too. And when you're a studio boss, that's what you need, is to understand business and understand art. And with the MCU, I think I can see where he's coming from, because some of the sequels to various films have not been as well received. And I think the question becomes, are they just stretching out the character unnecessarily? And maybe it's time to shake things up in the MCU. But the stuff with Star Wars, I've heard rumors that they might announce something at Celebration. But I think if they're smart, and I think Bob is smart, they're not going to announce a Star Wars film until they are for sure it's going to go.
Right.
And there are rumors swirling that the rumored Damon Lindelof movie is going to be what they announce at Celebration. There are some confident sources, including Jeff Snyder, who are saying that they have heard that that might be the case. And I think because they've had trouble getting movies ready, or at least supposedly they've had trouble, you know, planning a movie and then
right.
dropping it, I don't think they will announce it until they are for sure going to do it.
No, I agree. One thing it is about the Star Wars is like DC was keeping Superman on the bench, which I think stupid. Disney Films right now keeping Star Wars on the bench, I think is stupid. A couple of years should have been fine. Lucasfilm and Disney should have been able to get together and get a good story out there about something in Star Wars.
It's true.
And everything else. Now, they've done good with the shows and everything else. Like, they've done good with that.
Yeah.
Right. So, I do want to see. I'm ready to go to the damn theater and watch the Star Wars, baby. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I agree with you.
I didn't go, Brandon, I didn't go to Galaxy's Edge and handcraft this baby right here.
Oh, you've got one, and I don't have one yet. Dang.
A lightsaber crafted at Galaxy's Edge. I didn't do all that to not be able to see a gosh darn movie now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I put that together, baby. You know what I'm saying? The dark side. I'm about to get dark if they don't stop. They just get a movie out there. I want to see Rian Johnson's movie without characters that has baggage.
Yes, I do.
Let Rian Johnson make a Star Wars film.
Yes,
and all those people that hated on Rian Johnson, I want to tell you something right now, right to your guys' faces right now. I was at Celebration when The Last Jedi, when the actual first trailer and stuff. Mm-hmm. I was at that Star Wars Celebration in Orlando. That's actually the thing that's hanging around Grogu's neck right here, the Chewbacca thing right there. That's actually where that's from. That's where I got the medal that Chewbacca should be wearing around his neck. I got one, and the next time I see Chewbacca, I'm going to give it to him. But the biggest thing right here is I want to say is during that time, he was so excited about his trailer being able to be released because he loves Star Wars. He loves Star Wars so much. He showed up at 2:00 in the morning at the venue that the event's being held at. People were sleeping in their sleeping bags and everything else in this convention center. They were letting people that didn't have hotels like sleep in this big section that they locked off. They had bathrooms and everything else, but like they were letting them, if they wanted to, sleep in sleeping bags inside the convention center overnight. Straight up 100%. He showed up there at 2:00 in the morning of his trailer being released, with pizzas and signed things for people. Because he loves Star Wars.
He loves it. Yes, he does.
He put out a Star Wars movie, and man, he probably prayed every night, please let him like it. Please let him like it. Please let them appreciate the story that I'm trying to tell, because I'm trying to tell a little bit of a different story in Star Wars. Yeah. Let them accept it. Let them accept it. And a lot of people didn't. Okay. And that is what it is, right? That part of it, like, I don't care.
Everybody can have an opinion.
But the hate, the vitriol that came out because of that movie is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's
not that bad. It's not that bad. Okay. Not period. It's not that bad. It just didn't do exactly what you wanted it to do, and you got mad about it.
Yep.
You can dislike something, but to have that hate in your heart over a piece of entertainment that was not that bad.
Yep.
There are movies out there that I can name that deserve not even that kind of hate, because it's still entertainment, but that deserve maybe an ounce of what was happening during the time that Last Jedi, right after it got put out there. You know, some hate or some dislike, I should say, was justified. And never justify hate over an entertainment piece thing. It's
no.
Right? It's like hating a piece of art. Like, it's dumb. But, like, some of that hate, let's be honest, man, they don't like a woman being in charge of Star Wars.
Yeah.
All right? That's out there. Some of that. Small percentage, whatever you want to say. But Ryan Johnson needs to be able to do his own movies with his own characters with none of the baggage. Because I absolutely agree. Of you fans, because of the hate that you fans out there showed, because of the hate that those particular segment of Star Wars fan, which ain't a huge amount. We think they're a huge because it's on the internet.
Yeah.
But it's really not. But that section of Star Wars fans have other great directors that maybe would have thought about doing a Star Wars film. Say, nah. I saw what they did to Ryan Johnson because I didn't think that his movie was that great. Why would I make a Star Wars movie and have that backlash and have that attack and have that hate against me on one film? Like, why am I going to do that, right? Like, why am I going to do that? Ryan
Johnson is a saint.
Ryan Johnson took all that hate.
Yeah.
He took all that hate. He took all that stuff that you sent at him, that you tweeted at him, and everything else, and he put it in a little box over here to the side, and yes, he is still. With you doing all that, with that certain segment of fans doing all that, still wants to make a Star Wars film.
Yes, he does.
That's loyalty.
Yes, it
that's is. Love for Star Wars. That's passion for Star Wars, and that's what you want when someone puts a movie together about Star Wars. Like I said, that right there needs to be the thing that needs to happen. We need to see more of that, and I'm just right quick 100% on that. That stuff needs to change. It needs to change, man. And I'm not just talking about Star Wars. It needs to change across the board when it comes to entertainment.
Yes.
You can't hate a movie. What did it do to you?
Yep.
Don't you send death threats to people because you get pissed off about a movie or a film? That's crazy. This is entertainment. No one out there makes a movie on purpose to piss you off or to do something to you personally. No one does that, right? But a lot of people out there want to like let them like, oh my God, it ruined my child. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. There's other things in your life that ruin your childhood. Your dumbass mistakes you made in life. Not getting a better job. Or like me, not finishing school, right? That ruined your childhood or your life or whatever you want to call it, right? Not some stupid-ass movie that was made 20 years later. You can still sit down in front of your VHS, DVD player, computer, whatever it is you're watching streaming on. You can still sit in front of that, and you can still have a great time watching that old film. Nothing that made after that makes a damn changes anything. You can still go love it. I love the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, the original. I love it. It's great. Whatever. The other two wasn't that good. It didn't kill the first one for me. I can still pull that up, watch it, still transform myself into that time and love it for what it is. I can still watch the original trilogy if I want to, or the prequels, or whatever it is about anything, and watch it. The original Halloween movies, one of the greatest movies ever told or made, especially low budget wise, whether you like horror or not, it's a beautifully made film.
It is.
Some of the other freaking Halloween movies sucked or had stupid shit that involved in it. That doesn't mess up the original Halloween. Stop being stupid. Stop being dumb. And Secret of the Ooze is what I'm talking about specifically. We have Vanilla Ice doing the ninja dance. Okay.
Yes, he did.
All right. But that kind of stuff is just dumb, man. You can't hate an inanimate object. You can't do it.
Yep.
It never done anything to you. Okay? It is what it is. But that stuff pisses me off. Sorry, I got on a got on the soapbox, Brennan.
It really annoys me, too, is what it does. The attitude that people had, some people had, was just beyond understanding. Now, Ryan Johnson, this guy, two-time Oscar nominee for Knives Out and Glass Onion. This guy has some ideas to make some Star Wars movies. And I agree with you 100%. Disney and Lucasfilm shouldn't worry about what loudmouths on the internet are going to say. They should let him make his movie. Maybe give it a few years, but it's time for more Star Wars movies. And B, at some point, I think they need to let Ryan come in. And that man is a saint. Because of everything he's had to put up with, He is such a kind, soft-spoken, gentle man that I don't know how he does it. But as far as movies, the rumors seem to suggest that Damon Lindelof's movie will be the next one. But next month is Celebration, which I unfortunately cannot attend because it's in England.
It is in England.
And I can't fly, though I did go to the last one in Anaheim. I cannot wait to see what they have in store.
Me either. I'm going to tell you right now, Star Wars is that thing. It's like when my son's there to give me a hug, everything goes away. It could be the nuclear bombs are shot everywhere. We're all about to go down in flames in a nuclear holocaust. But my son gives me a hug, and for that split second, man, I'll forget about it. No matter how terrible it is. And Star Wars is that thing. Star Wars was that thing before I had my son that did that same thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I could be going through a breakup, lost a loved one in my life. You know, it doesn't matter what it was, something terrible, something horrible in my life could have been happening. I could turn on the Star Wars movie and I could sit down. And for those 2 hours, 2.5 hours, everything was gone. I forgot everything. You know, that's what Star Wars is about. Star Wars is about being able to truly escape our world, go to a different galaxy even. And be able to live there for a few minutes, because sometimes our galaxy sucks. Let's just be real. And when those times suck, not every time. This world has a bunch of great things as well.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
But you know, but sometimes this world and the time that we're here sucks, Brennan. And Star Wars can get you away from that. And I'm not telling everybody out there that Star Wars should be that for them. Maybe it's Lord of the Rings. Yeah, maybe it's something else, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be Star Wars. But for me, it's Star Wars.
There is a reason why my room is decorated in Star Wars stuff.
Exactly. Star Wars is there before my son was ever born.
Yep.
That's what got me through some things. Like, no lie, I know it sounds cheesy and stupid because it's a set of movies and a bunch of characters that are crazy and everything else. But I love Star Wars. I love Star Wars with all my heart, you know, besides like my family, my son, you know, the people that I consider family or close friends and all that kind of stuff. Like I love them, but Star Wars is right there next to all that because it was there, you know, even when my family couldn't be there or my mom or dad couldn't be there, you know, or whatever it is, right? Like Star Wars is always there to get me through a time. To make me forget about the things that wasn't going 100% the way I wanted them to go. And for people to sit out there, and go after a movie just because of whatever reason behind it they got, because they got mad because their fan fiction didn't come true and it was something different and everything else. You want to complain about a slow speed chase in space. I'm going to tell you what right now, you're wrong. The slow speed chase in space had to happen that way. Because when you look at the ships and how the Empire builds their ships, they couldn't hyperspace in front of them. They couldn't catch up with them because of all that stuff. They actually made the smart maneuver in the movie by just hanging behind, waiting for them to run out of gas. Yep. Because if they would have jumped in front of them by hyperspace jumping to get in front of them, they are the slowest ships ever to turn around. They take forever to turn around.
Oh, yes.
Their weakest spot, matter of fact, because of the way the Empire builds their ships, is the rear end. All the rebels had to do whenever they jumped in front of them was shoot them in the engines before they could get turned around and they lose their whole fleet. Okay. It even makes sense for the story, but people like want to hate on that. They want to hate on the Hodo maneuver. I've seen people hate on stuff on that movie that doesn't need to be hated on. Last said, you don't have to love it.
No.
But the level of hate, and I just hate it because I know Rian Johnson, the passion he has for this genre, the passion he has for Star Wars. Could have already put together a great film.
And
a great film in Star Wars.
There's a reason why we do shows like this every week. Because movies and shows, they mean a lot to people. The emotion, the comfort, the catharsis is so, so very important to people. And even if there's a movie you don't like, even if, you know, The Last Jedi wasn't your cup of tea, it means something to somebody else. So give them that chance.
Yeah, I totally agree. We got a couple of things I'm going to go through like really quick right here. A couple other news pieces.
Okay.
Armor's Wars rumored to bring back James Spader's Ultron, which I think is kind of cool. I actually liked Ultron. I didn't think the movie was that great, but I thought the portrayal of Ultron was pretty cool. I did agree with that. You know, that's rumors, not anything 100% set in stone. Okay. So there's not a lot to talk about there. Yeah. But if you like James Spader's Ultron, we're probably going to get that back. And one in Armor Wars, it looks like possibly the Little Mermaid trailer revealed like longer. Yeah. We've already had a Little Mermaid sort of small trailer, a bigger one revealed at the Oscars.
I haven't seen the new trailer yet.
Yeah, neither have I. But the new trailer was revealed at the Oscars for the Little Mermaid, some people were giving it crap because of the fact that they used to not be able to show any kind of trailers for movies during the Oscars just because of favoritism or any of that kind of stuff. So. It is what it is.
It is.
They did what they did. I'm not particularly excited about this. I love the original Little Mermaid. Yeah, I don't know how this is going to go over.
Yeah.
Then our last piece of news we're going to hit really quick is Jenna Ortega is up for the role for Beetlejuice 2.
Yep.
Of course, because she's the hottest thing going right now.
She is.
She did this the Wednesday show. She's in Scream 6, which is getting some money in there.
Yeah.
Now she's being rumored to be up for the role for Beetlejuice 2.
Yep.
She's going to be up for the role for almost anything you can talk about that's got a female character to possibly begin. Be honest with you 100% because, like, she is on a roll right now. I don't know. This is one of those movies that whenever Top Gun Maverick did good that I was afraid was going to happen. Maybe this ain't what I think it is, right? Maybe this is something they have been planning and everything else, and they finally thought, oh, wait, we got the right actress for the job, possibly. Let's do this for real now. Let's don't just talk about it. So maybe this isn't coming out because of that, but this is one of those first movies that I think is going to be coming out because Top Gun did so good after the movie was like 20 years old to do a sequel to it. This is exactly what's happening with Beetlejuice right now, almost to the T of what they did with Top Gun Maverick. But can they make a story as good as Top Gun Maverick? And this is one of those things that goes back from earlier. Was this a naturally written story that somebody had that loves the franchise or that loved the first Beetlejuice that kind of had this out there and it finally gets, they didn't think it was a good idea because, the franchise is too old. Mm-hmm. We really can't do it. But then they saw what happened with Top Gun Maverick. It's like, oh, shit, let's do it because that was a great story. We just didn't have the guts to do it. Maybe that's the case, and maybe this can be super great, maybe even better than Top Gun Maverick.
Maybe.
But I'm afraid it's the latter. It's the studio seeing the fact of what happened with Top Gun Maverick, and they went and hired a writer to make something up real quick so that they can do a second movie. And if that's the case, it's going to suck.
We'll see. We'll see.
We will see. But thank you, Brendan, for coming on the show with me today.
You're welcome.
You're really enjoyed it and stuff like that. I'm going to have different people on and off during the weeks to come. Dagan's got the wrestling channel over there to kind of like concentrate on and get that going. And that'll be being released not too long from now. And guys, man, thank you for all your support and everything else that y'all do. Like the Patreons out there, always want to give them a shout out for doing what they do because they help keep the lights on for us to do the small stuff that we do. It takes money to edit videos for you. It takes money to have people that does like the work and it costs money to do StreamYard. So like we appreciate everybody for all the little bit of help that they've done for us during any of this time, whether it doesn't matter what Patreon level you're on from the $1 all the way up to the $15 one. Just thank you guys. $15 one is one why Brendan can jump on the show too, like whenever he almost wants to, because he's part of that $15 tier, if I'm not mistaken, where you can pick to come on a show and stuff like that. And he wanted to come on here and talk with the Oscars. So I really, and I actually, we needed him. We needed him to step in today, or it would have been me by myself, talking to myself, which ain't super great sometimes. Sometimes it could be okay.
It's still fun. It's still fun.
but yeah, guys, thank you guys for everything that you do. And until next time, stay sexy.
See you later.
shoes, new tracks, like who's that? I'm new, come back better than last. Yeah, it's a new me, never gonna look back. Never gonna look back. Cause damn, I was built to last. You move slow and I move fast. And that's facts. Only I can make.